believers. Don't know where that counts, but anyway. But the Church of Jesus exploded on the scene on the day of Pentecost around 2,000 years ago, give or take a decade here or there. But, you know, it depicts the day the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples and the 120 who were all gathered together on that day. The Spirit showed himself as tongues of fire descending on each of them, and a rushing mighty wind seemed to fill the place where they were. They began to speak in tongues or other languages, as Rhoda just read to us there earlier. And at the beginning of the church, God used external signs as well as the spiritual blessings that he poured on us to show that he was working in these people, that this was something new. There's no other place in history where an event like this took place. The church began, just as I said, it exploded on the scene with what was taking place here. People speaking in tongues, other languages. They were able to speak in the languages that others could understand. It was a powerful witness to the followers of Jesus that God was still with them, even after Jesus ascended up into the heavens and was gone. God was still with them. I think that was a very powerful reminder. And it was also a witness to those around them that God had done something amazing, something different. That was the new thing that God was here doing on the earth. Nothing like this had ever happened to Israel before. We don't see it recorded in Israel's history, anything quite like this. There were miracles that took place. You know, the Israel coming out of Egypt, tremendous miracles there. That was just kind of a foreshadowing what God was going to do in a spiritual way here. It was, as I say, nothing really like this had ever happened, but it was prophesied that a time would come and that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on humanity. I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2, where where Rhoda was reading to us earlier. I'm going to drop down and start in verse 15. Acts 2 and verse 15. I'm not going to start at the beginning there. It says, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, verse 16, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Prophesy here, I think, means inspired speaking, not foretelling the future. The word prophesy is used in two different ways in the Bible. And this is talking about preaching, teaching, telling people, being inspired in what they say. He says, your young men will see visions, your old men dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. And this is what took place on that day. That 120, there were a lot of women there. But on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They will speak inspired. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. Well, we saw some wonders there on the day of Pentecost when a rushing mighty wind filled the house and tongues like flames of fire landed on them. But he says, I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Verse 20, the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And you know, there's a secondary fulfillment of that when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. But the sun was darkened before he died. They said there was a great darkness came over the land for several hours there before he died, or while he died on that cross. And he said the moon turned to blood. We've seen almost red moons at times. They call them a blood moon. I don't know if that took place in that time, but it's possible. But he said before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, that when Jesus was resurrected, he says, and anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This was a result of what happened at the resurrection of Jesus, that anyone who called on the name of the Lord would be saved. And that's such a powerful, powerful message. The Holy Spirit came and was poured out on all. It wasn't just, you know, there are times in the Old Testament where where people were needed to do a certain thing, and God would give them the measure of his spirit to help them to do that specific thing. Even those who were building the tabernacle back in the wilderness, it says those who were good at working with gold and those type of things and jewels and different and woodworking, God inspired them to do their best work through the Holy Spirit. But there was never an overall general pouring out of the Spirit until this moment, when everyone who was there who believed received that Spirit. This was what was prophesied, he's saying, by the prophet Joel, that this was going to come about. Let's look in Psalm 104, the 104th Psalm. I'm going to drop down here to about verse 27. Verse 27 of Psalm 104. This psalm talks a lot about the greatness of God and the glory of God. In verse 27, it says, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. He said, even the animals are looking to God to give them their food. When you give it to them, they gathered up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. But he says, when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. Verse 30, when you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. And I think that's what you see. The spirit is a spirit of creation, renewal, life. And when God sends the spirit, you are given life, eternal life. That spirit is there with us. It's a spirit of a creation and renewal that we are recreated. You know, we don't see that when you go to the church today and you look around at Christianity today, we don't see the power demonstrated like it was back then. I don't know of any place where we've heard a rushing mighty wind and then flames of fire coming down on anyone. Anything like that. You don't see that happening. Dave Fiedler, who used to be our regional coordinator here years ago, our kind of like our bishop, Dave told a story one time to us about, and I've recounted it to you before, but it just stuck in my mind. He talked about going to a prison to visit someone and counseling him and baptizing this man. And they had a baptismal font in the prison. And there were two men from a Pentecostal church that were there counseling about 12 men to be baptized that same day, because the prison itself had a policy that if you're going to be baptizing, it all had to be done at one time. And so David said those guys went first, and they were praying and going on and talking in tongues and wanting these guys to be able to talk in tongues, because that would show how authentic it was, that they really had received the Spirit. And Dave said that he felt like out of those 12, there were three that probably were having some sort of an authentic experience. They did speak in tongues, and it seemed to be very awe-inspiring and moving to them. And he said there were four or five, six maybe in there who he felt like were faking it just to get these preachers off of them, because the preacher kept saying, you got to do this, prove you have the Holy Spirit. And they just kept working at them and pushing at them. And he said, I'm not in their minds or their hearts, but he said, that's what it looked like just looking on, that they were just saying stuff and faking it just to get them to leave them alone. And then he said there were three, four or five men, I don't know exactly how many, who were trying to do this. They weren't able to do it. And these guys just kept on them and yelling at them in prayer that you've got, got to accomplish this. And they never could do it. And Dave said he could just look at the look on their faces. They get back to their cells. They were going back there. He said they just walked out slumped shoulder, their heads down, and they felt like failures on the greatest day of their life, representing God taking away their sins completely. But they felt like failures because the people were looking for signs instead of looking for the changes of a person's heart. They were looking for these outward signs that something had taken place. They wanted them to speak in tongues. And if they didn't, well, then you really didn't receive the Holy Spirit in power. But is that really what God is looking for? We see that that the power to change people's lives, to turn people around, to have their whole world turned upside down, that power is still available. That power exists in this world. That power is what visited all of us when we changed and turned to God and yielded to Him and believed in Him as our Savior. That power is available. It is still there. It's still at work. You know, we don't have to see tongues of fire or hear a roaring wind or speak in tongues in order that we try to prove that we have the Holy Spirit. What happened to those people years that at the beginning of the church, it was a special time and a special place, and the church was just beginning. Jesus had left them and gone to heaven, and the church was begun in power so that they would see, just like the disciples saw Jesus. Well, we didn't see him resurrected. We've never laid eyes on the physical Jesus resurrected, but we have faith in that. In the same way, this was something that happened to the church so that they all knew what had taken place, that they all could believe to begin and start the church at the very beginning. And it was also something that God was able to use to help the Jewish church in Jerusalem understand that he had called Gentiles when he called Cornelius's family. And the Holy Spirit fell on them. They could not refuse them baptism, even though they didn't like Gentiles, because the Holy Spirit had already done this. So it was there was a reason and a purpose for it. But we don't have to do that. We believe, we have faith, we trust. Just like I've never seen Jesus the way the early church did. You know, they heard him preach. They watched him walk around and teach and talk. We've never done that. But we believe. We've never seen tongues of fire come down. We've never seen him rushing by or heard a rushing mighty wind. Or spoke, you know, speaking in tongues is a true gift of the Spirit, but it doesn't have to be and is not the thing that shows whether you have the Spirit or not. The Spirit of God is given to us because of what God does. He poured it out on his church, and he's given us that Spirit because we have faith in that. When we come to him, when we believe in him. But Jesus called that Spirit by another name. He called him the Advocate. Let's go to John chapter 14. I'm going to go to John 14, 15, and 16, all three of these chapters here pretty quickly. But in John 14, just a couple of verses here that we're going to read in verse 16, John 14, 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He says that the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. You know the Spirit is going to live with you and be in you. But he says, he will give you another advocate to help you. Now, what does he mean by another advocate? I think Jesus was also our advocate. He is the one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. He stands between us and God to mediate for us. He is our advocate before God. He came to intercede for us as humans, to advocate for us before the Father. He came to take our sins away and bring us into righteousness. But he went back to the Father to sit at his right hand, and he says he was sending another advocate to be with us when he went back to the Father. Another one. This is the Holy Spirit. You know, I looked up I just thought I'll do a simple, what does a regular dictionary say about an advocate? It says, the dictionary I looked up was an online dictionary. I don't even know what name that dictionary was. But it says it's a person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or policy. A person who publicly supports or recommends a particular cause or a policy. You know, the Spirit publicly supports Jesus, doesn't it? Always moves us to preach the gospel about him. He puts Jesus at the center of everything. That is the center of the gospel. And when we move outside of that, we get off balance. And he also recommends to the Father actions that we can't voice, just like Greg Williams was talking about earlier today. Things that we can't even say, he utters for us. Those things that only our hearts and minds can only groan about, we can't even say about, because we don't even know what's taking place. But he called him an advocate. Let's look in chapter 15, John 15. I think it's the last couple of verses down here, John 15, that's verse 26 and 27. He says, when the advocate comes, I will send you to you from the, let me read it again. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. He said, the Holy Spirit is going to testify about Jesus. He's going to lead you to understand about what Jesus did for you and how he did it, and what he did. The Holy Spirit, he's advocating for the good news of what Jesus did, for the he moves us and he's on our side. He moves us to teach that message of Jesus, but he also moves us to seek God. Let's look in chapter 16. John chapter 16, and I'm going to jump in at the end of verse 4 here. John chapter 16. He told them some things, and he says, verse 4, I have told you this, so when the times comes, you remember that I warned you about them. But the last verse 4 is really where I want to start. He says, I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. He said, I was there. I was with you. You didn't need this. But now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things. He told him he was leaving them, and they were very much filled with grief about this, the fact that he would not be there. But he says, verily, verse 7, verse 7, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. He said about sin because people do not believe in me. If they believed in Jesus, they could have their sins taken away, but they don't. He says about righteousness because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And Jesus is with the Father. He's not here walking the earth physically. He's here with us spiritually, but not physically. And he says, and about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. That's what's been judged, the prince of this world. And he says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth comes. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So the Holy Spirit is going to, he said, be coming, and it's going to lead you. It's going to speak what God wants. He said, he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So Jesus is working through the advocate. The advocate works through us, through the Holy Spirit. He says, verse 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus is in submission to the Father, and he is faithfully transmitting to the Holy Spirit the things that the Father wants the church to do, wants us to do, how he wants to lead us and move us and inspire us. The Holy Spirit, as I said, he is, in a sense, he's an advocate for Jesus, but on the other end, he's our advocate. It's he who supports us in our time of need, and in our times of weakness, our times of sorrow. The Holy Spirit takes our calls as his calls and intercedes for us. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit, the power to grow, power to become like Christ, Christ-like, because that's what he's doing in our lives, trying to help us to do that, try building that Christ-like nature in us. You know, when we're weak, when we're sorrowful, and we need help, he is our advocate to express to God that groaning in our hearts that that we can't even put into words. He's our voice when we have no voice. You know, when a child has been abused or neglected in our society, if that gets caught, the court many times will appoint an advocate, a representative, an advocate to speak for the child and to speak on their behalf and to act on their behalf. You know, the parents have failed to help this child, to protect the child. And the person's job is to really to stand in the gap for that child, to be someone who speaks for that kid, speaks on his behalf, defends him, to be a buffer between the child and those who would abuse them. And as he said, the devil himself has been condemned, the ruler of this world, the power, the principality, the power behind all of these things has been condemned. The Holy Spirit is with us. Satan is our accuser. It says he accuses the brethren day and night. He accuses us before God, but we have an advocate. The Spirit stands in the gap between us and our accuser, and he speaks for us. He shows that we are actually clean and righteous. He goes back through Jesus, to Jesus with this information. Jesus, as our mediator between God and man, is there. They're all working together for us. It's done for us. The Holy Spirit does that for us. He stands in the gap for us. He's there with us, speaks for us. And he shows us, everyone, we've taken on the righteousness of Jesus, and he's taken our sins away. That is one of the most important things. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are on our side. Jesus came to this world out of love. He died for us. He went to the Father. But he sent us the Holy Spirit to continually love us, to express the love of God, to express the love of Jesus. And he sent him to encourage us, to guide us, to help us, to move us. All of us have done that, right? I mean, we felt the move of God's Spirit upon us, to be nudged, to move, to do something, to go somewhere, to say something. And the feelings in our heart when we know, wait a minute, what I'm doing is wrong and I need to change that. That's that Spirit nudging and moving us. The Spirit does many things for us. He speaks with God for us. He leads us to understand what God is trying to tell us. He opens our hearts to when we aren't going the right way. He fills us with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. All of those things, the spirit of thanksgiving, a different heart. And he's our helper. He encourages. He helps us. Jesus lives in us by that power of that Spirit. God is there for us. We're never alone. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always here with us. They live in us. That is the power of God, the power that can change a human life. I knew a young woman one time who she said when she was in school, she was just smart. She, any class, she would just pick it up. She just was quick. Her mind was quick. She was very, she had an agile mind. She could do puzzles, anything. She just was very sharp young lady. When she got out of high school and even beginning in high school, she began to do drugs and she got way off in the wild lifestyle and down a bad road, and she'd been in and out of rehab many times. And I was talking to her. She came to a point of turning to God, and God helped her get off of that, helped her. Rehab, she would get off for a week or two, and then she was back in again. She said she was so weak, she'd meet one of her friends, and they said, come on, we're having a party. Come on down here. And she didn't know how to say no, and she'd go and end up back into drug culture again, and parents wouldn't see him for 5 or 6 weeks. Then she'd come dragging home and start this whole process over again. Well, she came to a point where she came to God, and God changed her. And the sad thing was, she told me, she said, you know, I had this quick mind, She said, now my mind feels thick. It feels like it's syrup. It's moving slow. She said, I just don't have that quick grasp of things like I used to. She laughed. She said, drugs really did fry my brain. But she said, you know, God has changed my heart. God has changed me. And she went on. She got married to a man there who became a part of the church, joined our church, and was this young man had a child from a previous marriage. And she married him. It was a wonderful mother to this child. Something that she could not do on her own. God changed this woman. The power of the Holy Spirit that moves in the lives of people is real, and it's there. And if we yield to God and believe and trust in Him and have faith, that Spirit moves even more strongly and deeply within us. He's always there, but we feel Him more deeply. And we can feel and understand what
you must have muted yourself.
Don't know what I did, but I did it well. What was I saying? I said the Holy Spirit leads us. He guides us. He's there always encouraging us. We have to believe and we have to trust in that. Because we don't need outward signs. We need the living God in us. That's the most important thing. And we believe. We live in a time of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And that faith is such a blessing that we have through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Almighty God, we ask that your Spirit would guide us, that your Holy Spirit would lift us and teach us, and that you, Almighty God in heaven, would fill us with your power, the power that changes lives, not just to be able to do something. Father, people speak in tongues, and it's a legitimate thing. You've worked in their lives. I say amen, and we bless them for it. But Father, we don't all have to do that to know that we have you living in us. Our baptism is the greatest day of our life because it symbolized what was taking place in our hearts, that you, through faith, had taken our sins completely away, and that we stand before you whole, filled with your righteousness and your love, something we could never do. So we give you praise and honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen.